Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. We are joined by the lovely Jordana Guimaraes. She's the co-founder of Fashion Innovation, bridging the gap between the fashion and technology industries. And she also published the self-improvement book, It Can Be You, Humanizing Homelessness. So hi, Jordana. How are you? And welcome.
Good. How are you doing? And thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm so excited to connect with you. We met briefly, not in person, virtually, but I don't really know you. So I would love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Yeah, no, so for sure. So first, I remember meeting you briefly also, but it was a really good meeting. So I'm excited to get to know you as well. My name is Jordana Guimaraes, and I'm the co-founder of Fashion Innovation. Fashion Innovation is a portal, a community, and a platform where we bring CEOs and founders around the world to discuss the future of fashion. So we do it with four pillars, which is sustainability, inclusivity, diversity, innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. And we do events during New York Fashion Week, and we've had now 600 global CEOs and founders, which includes such a wide array of people. So we've had Rebecca Minkoff, Steve Madden, Diane von Furstenberg, but then we've also had Susan Rockefeller, Coco Rocha, the Bella Twins, and then we've also had founder of brands and companies like founder of Shopify, partner at IBM Watson. So it's like super across the board. But we feel the future of fashion really involves everybody. And that's why we bring all of these different personas. So that's the company. And then I just published my book last year, end of last year, titled It Can Be You, as you mentioned. And it's to humanize homelessness through the voices of fashion influencers. Just because fashion influencers have such a huge voice and people follow everything they do, I'm like, why not use your voices to amplify the voices of those that have become invisible? And so I'm giving 30% of all the profits to Maria Cuomo's organization, Help USA in New York City. Super excited about that. So yeah, those are my two.
I love that. So can you tell me, how did you even get into fashion in general? Like, what is your background? And then the follow-up question is, why is sustainability and inclusivity so important to you?
So how I got into it, it's a really long story and it's really unorthodox as well, but I love it because of that. I'll make it short. So I never went to college, always worked with people. I have a love for people. It's the reason why I got into the industry to begin with, because fashion involves so many different types of people. So I was like, this is the perfect industry where I'll meet, like, every day I'll be in front of someone new and I'll be doing something different. So that was really the purpose why I went into it. And the way that I got into it was just having a ton of jobs that all kind of showed me that my path was working with people, communicating with people. And once I found that out, I learned about public relations through PR for Dummies, a bookstore. Really loved everything it said. And I'm like, I'm going to be a publicist. I was a solopreneur, a PR person for about 15 plus years. I worked with Interscope Records, H. Stern Jewelry. I worked with startups at hotel rooftops, like during Fashion Week, just did a bunch of things in those 15 years, but always worked for myself. And then I found that the common denominator in everything that I love to do throughout my career was, again, people, social, like, impact, giving back, helping emerging designers get to the top. And once I figured all of that out, that's how Fashion Innovation came about. And really, to answer your second question in regard to sustainability and inclusivity, the reason why it's so important to me is because life is important to me. And without those two things, we won't be able to really have a fulfilling life, because one, the earth will no longer exist without sustainability. And two, it takes every single person to be a part of this movement. And so, you know, inclusivity really kind of speaks to everybody. And that's why it's so important to me.
Yeah. And I feel like nowadays, just like, I'm not saying it's a trend, but I do think it's a perfect timing for that, right? Because over the past few years, I've seen the development in creating these conversations around inclusivity with brands and, of course, sustainability and the environment, and relating to these fashion companies in general, how can they make an impact? So I think it aligns well with what you're doing. And I wanted to just ask, throughout the journey so far, because I know you've worn several hats, what has been the biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge, I would say, it still is. It's funny, because if you look at our platform, we've had just as many, if not even more, speakers and more well-renowned names than a BOF or a WWD or a CFDA. We've had literally so many incredible people. But because we're not that brand name or that big name that everyone recognizes, even if we do quadruple the amount of work when it comes to bringing the right people together that they do, it's still, I have to literally still get on a call with each single person and give them like an hour of like, a, you know, explain myself, try to make them like understand what I do, show them proof of what I do. It almost seems like if you're not this huge name, even if you do as much as those big names do, you really have to continue to prove yourself even after you've shown. Like, you act, not just talk, but sometimes it feels like the talk is almost more important than the action, even though it shouldn't be, because it feels like they have to have heard of you over and over again, like they do those bigger names. So that has been a really big challenge that is getting a lot better now, because, you know, the names that we've had, and because we just formed an official partnership with Spring Studios beginning of this year. So now it was as if, though, also when that happened, even though we did everything we did before that announcement with Spring Studios, when we announced that partnership, the bigger names are all of a sudden like, oh, how can we help you? How can we work together? So unfortunately, you know, as much as things are changing, and like you mentioned, the trend wise, which I totally agree. And even though like a lot of people that are smaller, they've been acting all this, or they've been doing all this time instead of just talking. Unfortunately, the talkers still get a lot more clout than the doers, when it should be the opposite. I think that's like the biggest struggle. And I think that's why fashion as an industry gets so much, you know, oh, so superficial. Oh, it's an industry that really doesn't care. Like, you know, because unfortunately, like, it's still not there, you know, as far as people really acknowledging the doers. So I think that's the biggest thing. But yeah, again, it's getting better, you mm-hmm. know, as we evolve and as we get, you know, bigger partnerships on board. And I think it's just the nature of the game when it comes right. to learning.
Yeah. And I'm not sure who are the specific people you're having these big conversations with, but do you find that as a woman also that you have to even go the extra mile just to get them to listen to you?
I think it's not only as a woman, but as a woman who I'm always myself. And that mm-hmm. tends to be a problem. And I'll tell you why, because I'm a very casual person. Mm-hmm. Like, what you see is what you get. I can't put on someone, like, I can't portray someone that I'm not. And so, like, you know, when I, you know, like this, like we're chatting right now, I mean, I'm like, I don't have makeup on. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just super casual. Like, if I go to meet with someone, I'm not going to put on a full suit, because I will feel super uncomfortable in a suit, because I'm not that person. And so when you are a woman and you are 100% yourself, unapologetically yourself, like, I think that tends, and I'm, you know, I'm like friendly, and I'm Brazilian. So I tend to be maybe like a little flirty, not just with men, with women, with anybody. Like, I'm just, it's my nature. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I always want to be able to be me. So sometimes, yes, like, you know, as someone who's always smiley, and like a woman who's maybe just like casually kind of going about things, it tends to be something that is definitely, I think, looked at, especially when you deal with men. They're mm-hmm. just kind of like, oh, how cute, you know, mm-hmm. even though you're doing everything you're supposed to do. Again, mm-hmm. it goes with the doing of what you're like. So, yeah, I think that that's something that's always been tough. Luckily, my business partner, and this is another thing that's wrong with society, is that I have to say luckily for this, but he's a man. So like, you know, whenever we do have those really serious conversations, he can be in the forefront. I'll be like, take this, because I think with you speaking, they're going to take you more seriously and they're going to close the deal. So that does happen. But again, it's the world that we live in. So you just have to adapt and figure out, you know, where you can step in. But yeah, it's definitely, as much as we speak women empowerment, there's definitely still a long way to go when it comes.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And then on the flip side of talking about like challenges, what has been like the biggest accomplishment thus far? I mean, I know you mentioned the partnership with Spring Studios, which for New York Fashion Week is so huge. So congratulations on that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but has that been like, you know, one of the things on the bucket list for fashion innovation, or just what has been like a top moment of celebration?
So it's been amazing, the Spring Studios, but I will say that my highlight throughout the 3 years, and it feels crazy that it's only been 3 years, because you know when you do something it feels like 20, like it feels, but the highlight was definitely about 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. My whole team, we got to work with the government and the princess in Saudi Arabia in Riyadh, and I got to go with part of my team to Saudi Arabia, and we were part of putting together a massive fashion future fashion event with them. That was like, that's when we looked at everything we did. And as much, again, we don't just say we're global. We're like, we are right now in Saudi Arabia, bringing our global voices to Saudi Arabia to help the government create an infrastructure around the fashion industry for the region. That's when I was like, okay, like we really are global. And obviously like they chose us to put the program together to bring the speakers. That was like huge for us. So that was a huge moment, like where we all had to pinch ourselves, and it was super, it was an amazing experience. So I'd say that definitely Spring Studios, and just the fact that the 600 past speakers that we've had, which I mentioned a few of them, were all cold emails. We never were introduced
to anybody.
Cold emails directly to the speaker. So like Diane von Furstenberg, we emailed her personally when we started the business, literally.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I took a photo of her reply, because like within 15 minutes, she replied from her iPad because she was traveling in Paris. I'll never forget. And she was like, "Hi, Jordana, love what you're doing. Sounds amazing. I'm not the person to speak on innovation in my company, but let's have my CEO speak." So, and then eventually we got her to speak. But just being able to like create these relationships off of a cold email with just with our like, what our intention is with the company that we're building, and 600 people having had said yes up to date, and none of them ever asked for a fee. They just did it with our vision to democratize fashion and be a speaker. That's, I mean, yeah, not to like toot my own horn, but I'm like, that's a pretty like cool
thing. That's a badass thing. No, for sure. You have to own it. I love that, because I feel like a lot of people who are listening might have certain goals on their list, right? Whether it's working, like quitting and working for themselves, starting a side hustle, making their passion into a career. And there are moments where you think certain things are unachievable, right? Like so-and-so will never see this, or like I will never be able to get there. And it's like, with having those thoughts already, you are limiting yourself. So I love the fact that you made the quote-unquote impossible possible. Yeah. So I guess like, how have you cultivated that mindset? Like, was it your upbringing? How have you been so like a go-getter? Because it's hard in this industry.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you were just reminding me of something you just said. So like Rebecca Minkoff, we were after her for like 3 years, literally the whole time Fashion Innovation was in existence, we were trying to get her and she was never available. I would like see her somewhere. I'm like, it's meant to be. I would approach her. Hi, remember my email? Like literally I was a pest. Finally, the COVID thing happened and she became a speaker. She not only spoke once, she spoke twice, and she spoke at another event that we did. So like we just became super close. And this past event last week, she actually dressed me. So like crazy,
wow.
Right? Like, yeah. So we became like, so, and to answer like the question about how did I just like go for it with these things? Like, again, like I'm very spiritual, like extremely. And I really believe like that people are just people. At the end of the day, we're all just like souls trying to figure it out. And I also believe in past lives and stuff. So whether this is your first or your last or wherever you are in that moment, as far as spiritually we're speaking, like, I feel like at the end of the day, we're just here trying to like create our purpose, like, you know, have whatever we're here on this earth to do happen. And so like, if you approach people with that mentality, so when I speak to Rebecca, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm talking to Rebecca Minkoff. Mm-hmm. Maybe like deep down or like surface level, I'm thinking that a little bit, but like in me, when I'm talking to her, I'm just like, I'm talking to Rebecca, a woman who was born, I don't know when, like when you take away everything and you just speak like human to human, you connect. There's no way that you cannot connect. And also you have to go at it with like, there has to be, you have to be genuine about what it is that you want in the long run, speaking to that person. So like, you know, and again, my genuine reason for being here is to create impact in the world. Like I never cared about being an entrepreneur. I want to inspire people. So I think that that's why I was never afraid to go after things, because I always feel like I'm just talking to another person, just like me, like, you know, mm-hmm. And when you think that way, so much of the impossible becomes possible because everybody's in reach, you know? So, yeah.
No, I love hearing that because I feel like I've been in positions like in the past, right? And I would meet people and I would feel a little like stargazed or like, oh my God, starstruck, I should say. And then I realized it that energy goes off to them. And then, I don't know, it's not that pleasant. So once you remove people from their status of being on a pedestal, and like you said, see them as equals, not only I think do they respect you more, but I think you start to value yourself more, because by me doing that in certain events, I felt like I was suffering from imposter syndrome. Like, wait, why am I here? Like all of these people are in this level and I'm over here. And it's like, no, we're all just people. And I'm spiritual too. So I always talk about like souls, and that's really that's all we are, right? Like we're just encompassing these shells of bodies, and it's who you are at your core that really, I don't know, that drives you in life. So no, I love that you mentioned that for sure. But with that being said, I would love to know, what is your definition of success and happiness? So do you define success and happiness having any, you know, correlation to each other, or are they completely separate?
No, there's that. I was going to say my definition of success is when you're happy and doing what you're doing, you know? And so 100%, you know, they go together. And I think like success for me, it's not about the size that you become. It's not about like how much money you make. It's about like, one, whatever you're doing, first you have to take care of yourself, number one. So you have to have a roof over your head, be able to feed yourself, your family, like take care of the ones you love that, you know, are kind of like, I have two babies. So like, that's super important to me. So obviously that money is important, and also to give other people opportunities to be able to hire more people. So like, you know, as we're growing Fashion Ovation now, we hired 9 team members since the beginning of last year. So it's exciting because we're giving those 9 people an opportunity for their families and, you know, to be able to do more for themselves, et cetera. So that is success in that sense, but it's not about just like, I want to become a billionaire and that's when I'm successful, because for what, like, what are you doing with that? You know? So that's one. But another thing is just like, success to me is really when you not only are doing what makes you happy, but you're seeing your community that is supporting whatever it is that you're doing also be just as happy for what it is that you're doing. So like you, for example, I can already tell you have an amazing spirit and amazing energy. So I'm sure, and I'll have to like go back and listen, because now I'm like excited to even, you know, because I got to know you just based on like the way that you are, the questions you ask, how you respond. So like your listeners, I'm sure they're walking away like super inspired, not only because of your guests, but because of you and like what you're bringing to them. So like, you know, to me, like you're successful just because of that. You know what I mean? So I think that's how I look at it. But again, I used to have a really bad relationship with money, because I grew up around a lot of it, and I didn't see like a lot of happy moments around me because the money brought on a lot of stress. And so growing up, like if you show me something now that's like, oh, look, I have a Rolls Royce, I'll be like, who cares? But like, if you take me out to like with a group of people and we have good conversation and we have amazing food and wine, I'm much more impressed by that than I am with the Rolls Royce. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I used to have a bad relationship where I'd be like, I don't need money. Who cares about money? Like money doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that, you know, again, it's how you look at it. It's putting everything in perspective. So I don't know. I went kind of like, nah, but
that's how it is. That's how conversations like generally happen, right? You start with one topic and it just like spirals to another one. But no, I love that you said that because I feel like, you know, maybe it's society, maybe it's our upbringing, but, you know, we sometimes associate happiness or success with how much money you're making. And I feel like over the years, I've also learned that you're not defined by any of that, right? You're not defined by your title, by, I don't know, just like all of these other categories, but it's about like, how do you make people feel? And that is so important. I know it sounds so simple, and I'm obviously not the first person to come up with this, but when I started to think about that, I was like, wow, that's so, so true. Like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. I don't know if you ever had these moments where you have these memories that come out of nowhere and you just start like cracking up. Like I would do that sometimes on the train, like in New York, and I'll start laughing because something just came up to me and I remember exactly where I was at, who I was with, and I was laughing so, so, so hard. And those are the moments that are, like you said, success. And yeah.
So I feel like it's so funny, but you know, I have gone through like quite a bit in 42 years of life, 42 in a few months, but like, even, you know, I went through like anorexia when I was younger and all the stupid stuff. I say stupid stuff because now that I look back, I want to like slap myself silly for like what, you know, but like, you always think that you could be better, you could do more, you could be greater, you could be thinner, you could be prettier. We all have those things. But like, as you get older, and I wish like I could tell this to like my 18-year-old self, but like when I look at photos now, even like 3 years ago, like I maybe took a photo 3 years ago and I looked at it and I was like, oh, I look horrible. Literally 3 years later, I go back and I'm like, I actually look really good. You have a completely perspective, you know?
Yes. I had the same exact conversation with my girlfriend. Obviously, you knew it was my birthday. So I was with my friend in Puerto Rico. We were talking about this. And she was talking about, you know, we had a heart to heart talking about obviously insecurities as women. And she's like, you know, I went through these pictures on my album and it's the same exact thing. She saw a picture of herself like 3 years ago. And at the time she wasn't happy. She wanted to like fix certain things. And she's like, I was so hot. Like I was so this. So now she saves those pictures in an album. And anytime she feels some type of way, she goes back in it. And the same thing, you apply that to like the present, right? Like who you are right now and everything, because you don't notice the changes you have every single day, but then it's when you look back, you're like, yeah, I was good then, like, and I'm still good, you know. Every phase, you should love yourself every phase. Yeah, but it's so funny,
it like makes you realize exactly what you just said, like in this moment. Like last week we did our big event. So it was like, we were with around photographers and I took pictures. And when I looked at one of the photos, the first, before I caught myself, I was like, ugh. And then I was like, actually, I probably look really good. Cause I remember 3 years ago when I look back in like a week and I feel like,
yeah.
So you just, and I'm saying that not only for the photos, but even phases in your life or how big your business is or how much you're doing, because like you said, it's a journey of life, you know, it's the beautiful roller coasters of the ups and downs, but like, just, I think it's all beautiful because we're living, we're breathing, we're waking up every day. We have another day to like do things or to try things or to be with different people or to experience or whatever, you know? And like, I don't know. I just think like success is just really, I don't think of it just as business. I think of it as life, you know? I think success is just like how you treat every single moment of every single day until the day that you die. If you treat it with like, if you're grateful for every moment, even the bad ones, you're successful at life. You know what I mean? Like, cause It's all part of the journey. Imagine how boring it would be if every day you woke up, the weather was perfect, you looked perfect, you had a perfect day with like perfect experiences. Like you would never know, you never appreciate it. You'd be like, oh, here we go again, another perfect day. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you have the bad and you have a perfect day, you're like, oh my God, today you feel so good. And that feeling of feeling so good because maybe you had a bad day a week mm-hmm. before is an amazing feeling. Like I would never not want to have that feeling, even if it means that I have to go through a day where I'm like crying and whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense. But like,
yes. I'm just nodding because I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I agree with everything that you said because it is true. If everything was like this, we would totally be bored of it. And that's why life should be experienced, right? Yeah. Like life isn't just like always going to be picture perfect. And again, who would want that? So no, I'm like, yes, I love everything that you like stand for. So my podcast is called The City Confessions. And I don't know if you saw this coming, but I invite my guests to come on to share their stories and, you know, what they do. But then I love to close off with asking Jordana if you can share a city confession. And I always preface this by saying there's no right or wrong. This is a judgment-free zone. And it's however you receive the question. Some people have gone deeper and, you know, talked about deep, dark things, and other people have talked about silly surface level things. So it's whatever you want. So if you can share a confession, what would that be? And this could be personal, professional.
But anything?
Anything. It could be like, I had a guest come on one time. This is back in like season one. She was like a beauty expert, but she was like, my confession is I actually never washed my face. And I was like, okay. And then other people just talk about, you know, like little secrets. I don't know. It can just be anything that you want.
My confession. Okay. So yeah, I mean, okay. Now I'm thinking like, so I think a confession would be, I married with two kids. So me and my husband, we sleep together, right? Like in our bed every night, like husband and wife do. But I have a 4 and a 5 year old that sometimes really want me to sleep with them in their room. And even though I'm like, oh, like, I'm sorry, babe, I'm going to have to go sleep with them because, you know, they're going to cry if I don't. Like confession is that honestly, sometimes I'd rather not.
I love it.
Like, you know what? I just feel like they're going to pass this phase, you know, of being little and having to cuddle. And as much as I love cuddling with my husband, I enjoy very much. Sometimes I need it more than I do the cuddle with my kids.
That's so valid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I'm sure like moms who are listening are like, oh my God, totally. Like she said it. Thank God. I don't have to say it. And of course, I don't know about like your husband, but I just know a lot of guys in general snore and like, oh, I can't stand that. So I'm like, anytime I can get out of there.
It's a much lighter cuddle to have two little girls and
that. Yeah.
I was just like, I need to breathe.
So do they often ask for you at night and not him?
The only me.
Yeah. He's okay with that though. He's like, okay, fine.
Sometimes he pretends he's not, I think. Confession, but yeah.
Oh my God. I love that. Okay. And then are you living in New York right now or where are you?
So right now I'm in Boca Raton, Florida. I was in New York until the pandemic and mm-hmm. I come back once a month at least because the business is based there. Right. But because of the girls, they were, when COVID hit, they were 2 and 3 mm-hmm. and it was just like too much to be in the city. And yeah, in Florida, there's no COVID in Florida. Have you heard?
Yeah, apparently. Oh man. Yeah.
That's how they act here.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So as we're also closing out, I do this like fun fast 5 questions about New York City. So you have to answer it in like one word. If you can. Okay. So if you could describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Magical.
Okay. Favorite thing about New York?
Wine bars.
Least favorite thing about New York?
Rude people.
Okay. And then maybe speaking of wine bars, I was going to ask, like, what is your favorite restaurant or food in New York City particularly?
Barbonia on 20th and Park.
Yeah, they're good. And then if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
For making my dreams come true. Because actually, when I very much, like when I first started the whole journey with PR, it was in New York City. And it's a place that you can have literally $0, but figure it out. So I feel like it's really that place that just like, it's tough, but it's like a really beautiful and amazing and immersive tough, you know what I mean? So yeah.
I love that. It always gives me like chills because I'm from here, and whenever I hear other people talk about New York City and I can see it like them light up, it just makes me also feel like really appreciative of the city, and like to be able to share that with others is like such a beautiful thing. So yeah. And right now is your chance to plug away. So I'm going to have all of the information in the show notes of the podcast, as well as YouTube, if anybody is watching. But what can the world be on the lookout from you, Jordana, or fashion innovation in 2022?
Thank you. So no, I would say just, you know, Fashion Innovation, innovation fully spelled out, .nyc. We're always like, our content is just getting like better and better. So just like, you know, fashion, future of fashion, anything related, definitely go check us out there. I also have a new show that I started. We're going on to the second season. The first season was kind of like test and trial, but the second season is coming bigger and better and stronger. It's called Fashion and Wine Talks with Jordana, where I open a bottle of wine with my past speakers and get to know them on a deeper level. So that will start again on March 2nd. It's a free show. Actually, everything that we do, our events, the next one in September, which is the Worldwide Talks, the Fashion and Wine Talks, everything we do content-wise is always free to everybody to register and watch, and it's live, so you can join the conversation, type in questions, et cetera. So that would be the second. And then the last one would be, we just launched a Fashion Innovation Hub, which is kind of like a LinkedIn meets Facebook, where we take content that you get from every single media outlet and we put it all together to like deliver to your doorstep the exact content that you need as an entrepreneur to grow. And that's a monthly subscription because it's a curated thing, and it's so we just launched that last week. So
that's exciting.
Right now. Yeah. And follow me on my personal Instagram, because I really want to connect. Like I mentioned, people is everything to me. So like, I love to connect with people. And if you follow, like I definitely follow back, but it's not even about that. It's just about like connecting. So like, you know, I would love that as well. And that's it. And my book, you can also get my book.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. You're doing so many amazing things. It's like, I can't keep up with you, and I don't know how you're doing it, but that's why, I don't know. I think you are a good example of somebody who can live their dream life and do it all, because that's why choose?
You make me so comfortable. It was so much fun. I feel like I'm talking to a friend. No one needs to get wine when I'm in the city.
Yes. Wait, what's your favorite wine?
I'm a heavy bodied red girl. So me too. I like Montepulciano, okay. I like Bordeaux. So red is usually my thing. If I go for white, it's Sancerre, Sauvignon Blanc, always.
Sauvignon Blanc, yes.
Yes. Margarita Pinot Grigio, because I feel like it's very light and not too sweet.
Perfect. There's tons of wine bars. We are going to go into one for sure. Yeah. Yes.
For next week for New York.
Yeah, Fashion. Yeah. Let's do it. After one of the long days. Yes. So we can just chit chat. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jordana, for coming on, and everybody who's listening or watching, thank you for joining us. Again, I will have all of Jordana's information in the show notes, so be sure to check it out. And with that being said, I'll see you all next week. All right. Bye.